Thanks, Ryan. We have had the opportunity to work with some wonderful people, and we will very much miss that. A number of you this morning thought that this was our last Sunday, and I'm sorry to tell you, we have one more week. So if you thought you were going to be rid of us after today, next Sunday, Rich and I are going to be leading worship together, and we have invited some people who have been part of worship teams here with us over the years to come back. And so Neil Harnley and Steve and Linda Ebersole and Rob and Phyllis Emery, Deanna, they will be here next Sunday with us, and we hope that it can be a morning of celebration as we celebrate what God's been doing among us and will be doing in the future, and it will be fun to sing some of our favorites next week. So hope you can all be here for that. Well, Rich and I are so grateful for the opportunity to share what's been on our hearts and our minds as we conclude our terms as pastors here. It's been a really good exercise for us to reflect on 20 years. So thanks so much, Carl, for giving us that chance. So as Rich and I talked about what each of us wanted to say and who would go first, Rich knew that he wanted to reflect on his experiences at the art conference he attended in August and the project that he made there. I think we have a picture of that here. Yeah, so that was his art project. Well, after he told me that he entitled it The Congregation, we agreed that maybe he should go first and I should bat cleanup. So if that picture piques your interest and you weren't here last week, I'm not even going to try to say what he did, but you can go online and you can listen to what he shared there. Sometimes it just seems impossible to me that we've been here for 20 years, but just to remind us all how long 20 years is, here is a lovely picture of our family on our second Sunday here. That was taken in the old sanctuary, and that's us with our three boys, Jordan, Dane, and Drew, and they were 12, 10, and 7 when we came here, and I think they all plan to be here next Sunday. So maybe not Dane, I think he has to work, but the others will be here. And then we thought it would be fun to take a picture of us yesterday. Yeah, there's a whole lot that could be said about this picture. Charlotte is now 11, Soph is 9, and Abby is 7, almost 10, she said, almost 7. So it's kind of interesting that our son was 7 when we came, and our granddaughter, these are granddaughters, that Abby is 7 as we leave. And I don't know if you can tell on there, but Rich is sporting some, how do you use this little laser thing? Yeah, right there. He's sporting some blue hair. Send the man back to school and he turns into a crazy person. It was for a spirit day at school, what can we say? But anyway, this looking at these two pictures makes me feel like life comes at you fast. But just so that you see, this is our whole family. Our kids, Jordan's wife, Allie, and their little girl, Marlo, who's almost 2. And this picture was taken as we were on vacation together this summer. So we've been blessed in the years that we have been here. Another reminder of what things were like when we first came here was that, of course, we were in the old building. We had no offices, no computers, except for the administrative assistant had a computer. That was Rachel at the time, Rachel Martin. She had a computer. And, of course, not cell phones that we used. So life was very different. It's really hard to imagine a time when computers weren't seen as integral to the workplace. And so those have been some big changes. I have been amazed at how much pastoral care happens on Facebook and over text messages and emails in the last number of years. We weren't here that long, a couple years, and then the church board did make a decision to create offices for us. I think that was when Randall came on board. So we really enjoyed then working together as a team and being given computers. And so anyway, yeah. I find that I tend to think of our time here as divided between the old building and the new building, because we spent 9 years of our 20 years here in the old building, and then the last 11 years in this building. So I tend to think of it in that way as I reflect. And Rich and I have had a fun time kind of reflecting on what are some of our highlights from these years. And right away, musicals come to mind. For those of you who've been here for a while, we directed musicals together when we first came, and I remember a children's musical and youth musicals and numerous musicals with the adults, collaborating with the district churches and also with Mellinger Mennonite Church, where my sister was worship pastor. And in fact, we must have had, I believe, over 150 people who participated in that particular musical, and we did performances at Leffler Chapel at Etown College and also at Lancaster Mennonite Fine Arts Center. So those were really rich times. Maybe my favorite of all the musicals is Crazy Patchwork Quilt of Grace. Do you remember that one? We had an interim pastor, Del Glick, who preached a sermon one Sunday, and he had a quilt up here, and his sermon was entitled Crazy Patchwork Quilt of Grace, and that inspired Rich to write some music about that. And then Del wrote some narration, so that was just one of those musicals that I remember many of us said, those tunes just kind of stick in our heads. So I keep telling Rich, now that he's not going to be busy here, he should get that thing published. So keep your eyes open. Maybe there'll be a musical to buy sometime down the road. Another thing that I remember, of course, is the process of moving into this new building. Another highlight was sharing our old building with the Spanish congregation who bought that building. And we were already maxed for space, and it's why we were moving here. So that year, or better part of a year, that we shared a facility together had lots of challenges, but it was also a very rich time as we shared some services together and connected as leaders. And that was just a good time. And then, of course, when we were building this new facility, prior to having the flooring installed, we invited everyone to come into the building and write scripture verses all over the floors. I don't know if you remember that, but you're walking on a whole bunch of scripture verses here and in our offices and in the youth rooms. And I pulled those out recently just to read over those and see what all was written. And that was really fun to do. And I'm making sure that Carl has a copy of that as I leave, and maybe that's something you all can come back to sometime and see what you wrote and how God has been answering those prayers that we prayed over this space with those scripture verses. And of course, I think of lots of special services, all the celebrations of baptisms and weddings and communions, and some precious times remembering the lives of loved ones who had passed on. And I remember the groundbreaking service that happened out here on the site when we gathered on a Sunday after church to pray and sing and worship together as we broke ground for this new facility. And then the last service in our old building, which was an amazing celebration of God's faithfulness to us. And then the first service in this building. And if you were part of that, maybe you recall, we gathered in the fellowship hall during Sunday school just for a time of fellowship. And then when it was time for the service to start, we all came in here together. And it was amazing to be up here and part of the worship team as we sang. I kind of forget what our first song was, but as we sang and watched the throng of worshipers come in here and take their seats. And it was, I remember a little interesting thing about that day was we were so used to the old building and where everybody sat. The youth used to be over here, but in this new building, the youth were some of the first ones in, and they picked this side. And here they still are. And so for a little while, it was a little bit disorienting to be up here because nobody was where we were used to seeing them, but that's good. Now I know where you are. You've claimed your seats. I know where they are. So I can picture you when I'm not here on a Sunday. I also, I think maybe some of my favorite services were our Christmas candlelight services. And I remember Christmas caroling on some tractor wagons in the community. And Holy Week. And more recently, our years of contagious generosity, followed by courageous hospitality. And that, of course, led to our Christmas feast for refugees, and those have been really rich times. But it's the relationships that will stick the most. With all of my colleagues, and there have been 22 colleagues who have come and gone, not counting Rich. 4 bishops, 2 leads, 2 interims, 9 associates, 2 directors of, and 3 admin assistants. So I have been richly blessed to work with some amazing people over those years, and each one brought new gifts. And so I'm excited for you as we think toward the future. And every time someone left in the past, it was always sad to see them go, but God would bring someone new that would add to the richness that was here. And so I know that that will happen for you as well. And I have loved working and getting to know many pastors in the area, both in our district and our conference, as well as in the Mountjoy community. But maybe most of all, it's all the people who've come in and out of the doors over the years that will always hold a very special place in my heart. Well, it's been a rich 20 years, and there's no pun intended there. But in the last few months, I've been reflecting a lot on what I've learned during these years. So today, I would like to share 5 unexpected lessons that have shaped me as a person and also as a pastor. There's a picture that has been hanging on the wall in my office ever since we moved into this building. It's opposite my desk, so I look at it a lot. I bought it because it looked peaceful, and I loved the scripture verse that was on it, and I know that it's hard for you to see that. What it says is, "In quietness and trust is your strength," and it's from Isaiah 30:15. Well, when I bought this, I felt anything but quietness and trust and strength. I would say words like turmoil and fear and helplessness much more accurately described my state of being. Our family's world had been turned upside down, and I didn't know how to write it again. So it was a very dark place for me, for our family. And it's hard to be in the dark. It's always hard to be in the dark. And it has some unique challenges when you're a pastor, because the expectation is that you're going to get up here week after week or be in the office during the week and always be at a place where you can help encourage people and point them to God. And I was having so much trouble doing that for my family and myself. How could I possibly do that for a congregation? I really felt completely inadequate as a pastor at that time. And I guess I had grown up believing that it wasn't okay to be in the dark, that somehow we needed to get out of there as quickly as possible because that said something about your level of faith, and maybe I needed to sing more or, I don't know, rebuke the enemy more or go for more walks or just do something, anything that would get me out of that place of darkness. I guess somehow I thought that if I did those things, everything would be better. But God provided for me a very wise spiritual mentor who said to me, "It's okay to be in the dark, because God is with you in the dark." And in fact, God's not just with you in the dark, but the darkness is as light to God. And that was a new thought for me. Psalm 139 says it this way: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you." I think it's that last line there. The darkness is as light to you. It sounded somewhat comforting. My friend suggested that I needed to look for God in unexpected ways in the darkness. Maybe I needed to change what I was looking for. And so she said that as I did that, I would find that the darkness became light to me also. So she helped me to start noticing God in new ways. In a song I heard on the radio for the first time that had words that spoke hope and comfort to my heart. And in an unexpected visit with a high school teacher who had actually taught me that song that I heard on the radio many years before. In fact, I had recorded that song with that person. Also, to notice God in the colors of the sunset that were reflected on the ocean waves. And in the scripture verses that a friend gave to me written on colored 3x5 cards. And I noticed that as I began to pay attention to the things around me that spoke to my soul, I sensed God's presence in new ways. So this whole idea that the darkness was as light to God was really transformational for me, because I found I could rest in the dark if I knew God was there. And there was no rush to move to some better place, to figure everything out, to pretend life was just hunky-dory. There was just an invitation to be with God in the dark. And for me, that meant being real. It meant bearing my soul and crying my heart out, getting angry, and I got really angry, asking questions that I didn't feel I could ask anywhere else. And I discovered that God wasn't at all in a panic or ruffled over the stuff I vented or the fact that I had some serious internal work to do. But God seemed completely capable of caring for my soul in the dark. And that became a huge comfort to me. I really began to trust God with my whole self, questions and all, the good stuff and the not so good stuff. And even though nothing else in my circumstances changed, I noticed that being with God was transforming the darkness into light. So that's number one in my list of 5 unexpected lessons. It's okay to be in the dark because the darkness is as light to God. And there's so much hope and rest in that. You can trust God to get you through the darkness eventually. And it's okay if it takes a while, because there are things we learn in the dark that we can't learn anywhere else. And it's in the dark that we come to terms with our disappointments and our limitations, and we discover God's grace and God's power. And I realize that so often I'm in such a hurry to get out of the dark myself or to push other people out of the dark. And I realize that in doing that, I might be a part of helping someone else to miss God. And so that became a very important lesson for me as a pastor. And I think that really helped to shape my ministry so that I became much more of a non-anxious presence with people, wanting to be just with people, that presence of Jesus with people, just like Jesus was with me, helping them to notice the ways that God was reaching toward them and to rest in the knowledge that the darkness is as light to God. And another big lesson for me that was that God really does use broken people. People who feel crushed and inadequate, whose families aren't perfect, and whose reputations have taken a hit. People who struggle to make sense of their faith and hold fast to hope. People who feel they have nothing left to give. And that was me. During the years, our family walked through some pretty huge losses and intense challenges. I can't tell you how many Saturday nights Rich and I looked at each other and said, I don't see any way possible that I can get in front of a congregation tomorrow morning. I just don't see how I can do it. Sometimes we were dealing with deep grief, and other times it was intense anger or overwhelming helplessness. But what we learned in that time was that the discipline of posturing ourselves before God and acknowledging our depravity and our emptiness, that God would show us in those times what we needed to surrender to him. And when 10:15 Sunday morning rolled around, there was an abundance of grace and enough strength for us to show up. You know, sometimes it seemed like there was just enough for Rich to make it to the piano bench or for me to make it here to the lectern. But we brought our completely insufficient loaves and fishes, and God did the rest. So crisis has this incredible way of emptying us of ourselves and making much more room for God, and I'm so thankful for that. And one of the things that happens when you're at the end of yourself is that you finally realize you need help. There's no denying it anymore. You are not self-sufficient, but we like to think that we are. And it's very humbling to be a pastor and feel so incredibly needy. But what a gift it is to be the recipient of all the love and support and encouragement and care that we received from you. So that's another learning. Community is one of the ways God loves people. You brought us meals. You sent us cards. You prayed for us over and over and over. Some of you came and cleaned our house. Some helped do our laundry. And you prayed for us more. And I'll never forget the day two women from the congregation showed up at the front door. Maybe I shared this story here before. I don't know. But two women showed up at our front door and said, "Rich, can Dawn come out and play?" And they took me shopping and they bought me a new outfit. Now, what woman doesn't want a new outfit? And I think I can say with pretty much confidence that if two of you men had shown up and offered that to Rich, it might not have meant the same thing to him as it did to me. But it was a blessing to both of us. That way of, when we were encouraged by our friends, it was always a blessing to the other person. And then there was that time that we came home from an incredibly difficult day, a day in court. And we came home to a sidewalk. This makes me cry. A sidewalk that was covered with scripture verses. And we walked on those verses for at least a month until the rain finally washed them away. But they stuck in our hearts. That was an amazing gift as we headed back to the courthouse for day two of a trial. You have been the hands and feet of Jesus to us. You have gone above and beyond to serve us, and we are so, so grateful. But your care for us showed us how to care for other people. That was such a gift, so thanks. And I guess I want to say to you, keep doing that. Keep growing in your ability to care unconditionally for others. Now, when your crisis is public, you lose the luxury of choice and privacy. It's out there for everyone to see, your crisis, whether you like it or not. Nobody ever asked us if we wanted to read about our family in the newspaper headlines, or if we approved of what was written, or if the facts that were there were actually facts. We were drug kicking and screaming to a place of vulnerability. But I've come to understand in a new way what an amazing gift that is. Oh, that's another picture, the sidewalk. I had never counted how many verses I should have. There were a lot of them. Anyway, a fourth lesson. Being vulnerable and real changes us and expands our impact. It opens us up to God. It opens us up to others. We gain a greater capacity for empathy. And I think it helps us to be better listeners because we've come to understand and we've needed ourselves the gift of listening. Rich and I noticed that as we shared openly through our family struggle and difficulties, that we became a safer place for people to come and share their own struggles and their own humiliating stories. People seemed to trust us more. And I can't say what an honor it has been for me and for Rich, but especially for me in my role as pastor of care, to be invited into many of your lives and into your stories. That has just been a real, I don't even know how to put it into words. It's just been an amazing gift. And I have found that my own faith grows every time I see how God meets people in their own dark places. Number five of my unexpected lessons. Maybe it's the most important one, actually, because it's from that scripture verse, in quietness and trust is your strength. You know, I was reminded recently of a time several years ago when I was flying home from a trip. I left the sunny blue skies of Florida, my happy place, because I used to live there, so that's a happy place for me. But I left those sunny blue skies, and I spent much of the flight home pondering the challenges I was coming back to. And the closer we got to Baltimore, the more dark the sky became, the clouds got thick. I couldn't even see the wing that was directly below my window. I mean, the clouds were right outside my window. And we hit some pretty rough turbulence. And at that moment, I was kind of reflecting on how radar works and how amazing it is that here's this little plane up in this vast sky, and this radar is going to guide this plane to this tiny little runway somewhere far in the distance that not even the pilots can see. And that was just a comforting thought. And it was in that moment that I sensed Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, speaking to my heart. And this is what he said. I'm like that radar to you, Dawn. You don't know how to get to where you want to go, but I do. I see the way clearly because the darkness is as light to me. I can carry you there, and I will, so trust me. And so that's what I did, and that's what God did. And I am just continuing to learn that in quietness and trust is my strength. You know, life is full of daily opportunities to learn that over and over and over. Well, as I wind down my work here and I look toward the next season of life, there's a lot I don't know about what the future holds. My plans aren't as spelled out as Rich's are at this time. So this picture in my office really has become sort of a prayer to me over the years. And today I want to make it a prayer for all of us. So I invite you just to look at this picture as I pray these words. Lord, help each of us to be like this tree, strong and able to withstand storms and time because our roots go deep. Keep us firmly planted in you. Help us to be graceful with arms that keep reaching upward to you and outward toward others, so we don't get so self-absorbed with our own stuff. Thank you for the gift of community, and help us stay connected to others because we can accomplish more together than we can do alone. Just like these trees whose branches reach up and out and meet to create a canopy of shade and shelter for anyone who enters their midst. And Lord, give us a testimony. The knots in this tree indicate branches have been broken or cut off. Help us to be vulnerable and real. May the scars in our lives testify to the miracle of your healing. And help us to learn quietness and trust, especially when we can't see far into the distance. May your peace go deeper than our understanding so that we always find our strength in you. And together, all God's people say, amen.